What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Nick Keezer. Joe Rex Road will be along shortly. Hope everybody is doing well on this Tuesday morning. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. We'll be joined by Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll be joined by our good friend Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Alex Doherty from Penalty Box Radio coming up at 8:30 to discuss a wild Nashville Predators win last night. And as always, we'll take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How does Allison Stanley like thrilling hockey games?
She loves thrilling hockey games, and the Predators are 1-0, and in 1-0 in dramatic fashion with Allison Stanley in attendance, which I've now been told that it is mandatory that she's at every game.
Oh, there you go. Well, that'll be easy.
Yeah, why not?
Bring her up to press row. I mean, like pregame, I would much rather help you with her, you know, walk around and stuff than like have to listen to Jared yammer on for a half hour before every game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, Jared has given us experience with babies up there, so might as well just keep it going. I love Jared. I'm sorry.
He's not listening. He's working out.
That's true.
Or watching film.
Yes. Nick Keezer, good morning. How are you? How much sleep are you operating on?
Oh, I'm doing well. That was your same question, the Gus Nyquist. I'm doing fine. I got a good nap, and I'm feeling good, and it was nice to meet Allison last night. So pleasure to have her part of the Preds fandom in some way, shape, or form now. So that was awesome.
Yeah, she took the nice media tour last night up on press row, up through the Predators brass in the front office, and then watch the game from section 118. What a game it was last night, Joe Rexroad. Preds are down 3-2. Looks like they're getting ready to lose again. That would have been their fifth loss in their last six games. They had the one win against Chicago, which ended a four-game losing streak. All of a sudden, in the last 38 seconds, Philip Forsberg ties it up, scores a goal basically out of midair from the side of the net, and then a brutal turnover, and Cole Smith takes advantage of it in front of the net, puts the shot on net, and Yakov Trenin there for the rebound. So, number one, we should have gone with Yakov Trenin and Preds picked a click yesterday. But yep. Number two, what a win for the Predators when it looked like they were getting ready to lose the game, and they come back and beat one of the NHL's elite teams 4-3 in dramatic fashion. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, what was that stat, Nick? You had the stat. I think you tweeted it, right?
Yes. So, that was the 11th time in modern NHL history, it was 12th time in general, that the you've seen someone score a goal in the last minute, but then score the go-ahead goal with less than a minute and win that game. I believe I was looking back through the chart that I got last night, and the goal that was more recent than what happened last night for Trenin, give me just a second here while I'm pulling it. I'll tell you who scored, but I thought it was interesting when I saw this. So the player that scored the more recent game-tying goal was Ryan O'Reilly, actually, and this was back on January 9th, 2022. The St. Louis Blues were playing the Stars, and then Jordan Kyrou would score shortly thereafter, about 15 seconds later. So then Yakov Trenin made history last night. Preds' first time in franchise history have never scored two goals in less than a minute to win a game. So there you go.
Yeah, pretty wild last night from the Predators. And Philip Forsberg with two of them last night. So he opens the scoring for the Predators, and then he scores the game-tying goal with about 37 seconds remaining, 37 and a half, somewhere in that neighborhood. By the way, Joe, Forsberg has 21 points, 17 games. He's got 9 goals. He's on an absolute tear right now. He is on pace for 101 points. Now, it's still early, relatively, in the season, 17 games in, so there's a long way to go, and he's got to keep the pace going, and he's got to stay healthy, which is probably the biggest part of that with him, which he's struggled to do in the past. But right now, a 101-point pace for Philip Forsberg. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, it's amazing. It doesn't feel like it was long ago. We were like, well, Forsberg really got to – you know, start producing. I mean, the thing about Forsberg, we know he's streaky. So there will be, you know, right? Like there will be ups and downs in that way. But when he's on a heater, you got to win, you know, when he's on a heater, then it's got to be carrying the team to wins. And it is great to see him playing like this because I think he's actually played well all year. You know, sometimes it doesn't go in for you, but he looks like a monster.
Yeah, he looks incredible. I mean, he's at an elite level right now. When you pay somebody $8.5 million per year, like this is what you're hoping to get out of them. And you know, 2 goals last night for him. He kind of single-handedly drug you back into the game with the way that he was playing. And, you know, O'Reilly with another assist last night, he's 16 points in 17 games. So he's right there with kind of the pace that you wanted him to be at. The revolving door of young guys getting scratched kind of took another turn yesterday, Joe. Evangelista scratched. So nice Preds pick to click pick by me with him being scratched before the game even started yesterday. So Parsons kind of gone through that. Tomasino's gone through it. And now Evangelista, a healthy scratch yesterday. So the young guys taking some turns sitting on the bench here lately.
Young guys getting some lessons. And by the way, next pick to click, Nick, I expect you to rip Robbie for picking Evangelista.
Oh, I already let him know.
He did yesterday in the morning skate. Apparently, Nick has this clairvoyance.
And yeah.
He knew that Luke Evangelista was going to be scratched.
If you know these things, tell us.
Okay. No, I did not know that one. But I would. I would. I would really try.
Okay. I'll do that. Now, look, the Predators, they still have a lot of work to do. They've won two in a row. They've gotten to 7-10. So they had dug themselves in a little bit of hole. Some news on that front yesterday. McDonough and Luke Shen were both on the ice at morning skate. So doesn't look like either one of them are that far away. And then it comes to, all right, well, what do you do with the lineup when that happens? I mean, Spencer Stastny, I think, has looked great through two games, which is very encouraging. His speed has been incredible to watch. So, you know, honestly, like, I don't necessarily want him coming out of the lineup with the way that he's played through the first two games. But if Shen and McDonough are going to be back in there pretty soon, then somebody's going to have to come out. So that's a decision that Andrew Brunette's going to have to make coming up here pretty shortly. But that's a heck of a win. I mean, last night you beat Chicago Saturday, and it's like, okay, well, at least you beat your division rival and you got off the schneid there. And then you look at the schedule and you're like, great, well, Colorado's coming in. To get that win, now you set yourself up the rest of this week to be able to kind of claw back into this thing. You're only 4 points out of a wild card spot right now. And again, we're still a little bit early for standing stock for me, but
Thanksgiving,
the Predators were in danger of kind of letting this thing slip away pretty early and getting yourself in a position where to battle back in and to get back into a playoff spot was going to be really difficult. And that's a huge kind of momentum type win last night for the Predators to get that done in the fashion they did.
Yeah, it's kind of like Forsberg. You got to go on some hot streaks too. Obviously, they've gone on a cold streak, but can you stack some together and get it rolling? I mean, that momentum is very real. You know, momentum in baseball is the next day starting pitcher, but I think in hockey, momentum is very real both ways.
Chase on the text line says, looks like it's about time to trade him then, talking about Forsberg. Well, you can't trade him. He's got a no-trade clause. But I don't know that I'd be trading him right now.
Yeah, I think he'll be around. Is that like bitterness because Kevin Byard got a pick last night?
Maybe so. Maybe so. I do think, look, from Predators fans, I've seen like why didn't they just go ahead and trade Yossi and trade Forsberg if they're going to do this rebuild thing? Like, rebuilds don't have to take 7 years, you know, like, right. you can try to get it done pretty quick.
The idea, yeah, I mean, Barry Trotz has said it very clearly. They're the timeline, you know, like the timeline is, can you get this roster up to speed while they're still hot, you know, near the top of their games. That's the whole idea. Yeah, some franchises take years and years and wander through the desert. There's no doubt about that, but that's not the idea.
Cool to see Ryan Johansson back in the building last night. He had an incredible like redirection where I thought he was getting ready to score, and Saros got like the edge of his pad on it. That was really the only good look that Johansson had last night, but a nice tribute video. Unfortunately, it did not include him and Ryan Kessler barking back and forth at each other, which I was really hoping that it would, but a nice tribute video from Ryan Johansson. It was good to see him yesterday, and he has been a good fit with the Colorado Avalanche so far. By the way, Matt Duchene continues to put up points for the Dallas Stars, which he did last night. So good to see Johansson. Good to see a very good reaction from the crowd for him yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the video should have been centered around wondering aloud how even Kessler's family roots for him. I mean,
he really should have. I was really hoping that was in there.
Set to Creed in the background. Glorious. While he says that,
It was just beautiful. I miss those days. I'm trying to feel like I was wondering when I was thinking, because, you know, of course, on Twitter, there's all these different like Johansson memories that came up yesterday that people were tweeting out, and somebody found the audio of him and Kessler at center ice and just that exchange together. And I was like, when are we going to have another Predators player of some other team rivalry that is this visible? Because I don't know that we're going to have one anytime soon.
Yeah, like Bedard's kind of boring, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's McDavid really good.
Has the personality of my door in here. Yeah.
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't even have like a really good contender right now.
No, that's the thing. It's a sad thing. And I don't even know like who on the Pred side of things is going to do this stuff. Like be willing to do it. I don't know.
The thing is though, like Johansson really isn't that kind of guy normally. You know what I mean? Kessler just brought out the Mr. Hyde out of him, you know? So if someone's bad enough on the other side, then, you know, anyone could potentially be the Preds' adversary. But yeah, who knows, man? That may be wandering through the desert on that one for a while too.
Big win for the Preds last night. Joe, quickly, your thoughts on the Eagles and their win against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I mean, dude, you know Valdez-Scantling. Well, first of all, screws me and picked a click, and I'm very angry about it. Also, your guy, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, that dude, I mean, Patrick Mahomes put the winning touchdown pass on his fingertips. Like, you can't throw it better than that. And the other dude, 84, whatever. I mean, he absolutely sabotaged their entire game. Very disappointing. I do look at this game and I'm like, you know, the Chiefs could absolutely win it all, you know. But like, how do you let Patrick Mahomes have this receiving core?
I know. That's what I've been like. His receiving core is awful. Like, just imagine if they did have DeAndre Hopkins.
Why did they cheap out on the Hopkins thing?
I don't know.
Now imagine that. Imagine that world. They have Hopkins. Just go ahead and put him in the Super Bowl. Also, imagine the football played in this town this year with no Hopkins.
Yeah, it'd be real fun. Really nice. Ooh. Really nice to imagine. Big win for the Eagles last night as well. We'll take your thoughts on all of it. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into Mike Vrabel, some of the things he had to say yesterday at his press conference. Take your thoughts all show long. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
With the locker room itself, the team overall, what would you say are some examples of you still having a firm hold, a firm control of the locker room, so to speak?
I've never, you know. Are you questioning that? I'm not sure. Is that something that you're just are you questioning, Teron, my control of the locker room?
I'm asking.
You're questioning it.
No, what I'm asking you is for examples of how you still have. I'm not saying you do or don't have control of it. What I want to know is, what are some examples of you having control?
The same ones that I've had since I got here. I mean, I don't know how to do it any other way. You know, be honest with them. You know, coach them. You know, and I haven't really thought about it because I don't. You know, I don't think that's an issue. You know, I wish we would win. I wish we were winning. I wish we were better. But we're not. I'm not going to compromise the things that I believe that you know are going to help us win, and about the details and about, you know, the little things, and not letting those slide, and doing my best to hold everybody accountable, you know, including myself, as we go through this.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday at his Monday press conference. An interesting back and forth between Vrabel and TD there, Joe Rexroad, talking about Vrabel and as he lost the locker room and giving examples of kind of the control that he has of the room there. What did you make of that little exchange between Vrabel and Teron Davenport yesterday?
Well, it's like, you know, and this has been a Vrabel thing with other things too. It's like, asking the question does not mean you're saying, I think it's bad. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like TD said, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm asking you the question. Do you have control of locker? Give me an example, you know? But, so, I mean, it was a good question by TD. I thought there was some good questions in the presser, and, which I unfortunately could not attend. Overall, I think Vrabel was pretty forthcoming for him. I don't know what you thought.
I agree.
But, you know, I think that there's probably something to, there's a little bit of a sliding scale, I think, with any coach. And some are just very different, and some like talking to media or whatever. But, I mean, I think in general, there's a sliding scale with coaches of, you know, things are going really well. It's a little easier to be like, and flick off media like flies. Things are going really poorly. You might want to hang in there and answer these questions. Now, look, sometimes it doesn't go that way. And that's when someone's really about to get fired, like Brandon Staley, who's out there barking at people, you know, about the calling the defense. And he knows the writing's on the wall there. The writing's not on the wall here. Now, the writing may be in the text line again today, and I get it, and it'll stay that way until things change. But, you know, this is, in my opinion, not a hot seat situation. It's interesting. You know, Kaharski and I were texting yesterday about, because he was sort of like, I guess he heard what we were talking about yesterday, and he's like, you know, I thought it was a proper time. And I'm not saying it wasn't. I was just a little surprised. Like, but maybe I shouldn't have been surprised. Maybe I'm the one who is a little late to the party on that, you know, that it's going to be a conversation. Clearly it is now, right? I mean,
yeah.
Now, is it an actual conversation in the building? I have serious doubts about that. But hey, man, there's a lot of football left to be played, and these weeks are still really important, I think, to Vrabel and his coaching staff, whether it's to avoid firing, I don't know. But, you know, staff changes, whatever the case may be. Like, this is an important stretch for those guys.
Well, we discussed this briefly yesterday, because anytime you've got a coach that's kind of in the crosshairs of the fan base, and this can be in the NFL, college football, NHL, whatever it is. And we heard some of this when Peter Laviolette was the head coach with the Predators. Like, the idea of losing the room, right? Like, have you lost the locker room? That's essentially what, you know, what TD was getting at,
right,
with Vrabel yesterday. Do you buy into that even being a possibility here? Like, how do you view the losing the locker room stuff, which has become like a pretty popular topic of discourse among Titans fans right now that I've seen?
The thing about Vrabel is, from everything I understand, and you know, we see some, but, you know, I mean, Vrabel's really actually, like, I think people look at Vrabel and like his public persona and maybe have this image of this guy who's behind the scenes just like barking at everybody and growling and, like, you know, really, like, you know, tough coach. It's really, like, not like that, other than, like, obviously his personality is like, you might get 7 F-bombs out of 9 words in any given sentence. You know what I mean? But I think his approach is very much like, you know, I'm doing a poor job of putting it into words. I don't think it's a big thing with losing the locker room, but here's where it is a big thing. Like in terms of like personality and stuff like that, we've talked about the Laviolette thing. Hey, maybe the voice gets old or whatever. Where you lose the locker room is if they don't think you're good.
Right.
Right. So where you lose the locker room, Vrabel in this situation or any coach, is if the players don't think that you're competent at your job. Because, I mean, when it comes down to it, everybody here is, yes, it's coach player, but really everybody here is a professional in a work environment trying to work toward a goal. So whatever you, however you want to look at it, look at a company, and basically Vrabel would be like middle management, right? And he's the guy who has to deal with people, has a lot of people under him. But it's like if the middle manager is incompetent, then people are like, screw you, man, shut up, you know? To me, he loses the locker room if these guys, more and more guys are starting to look at the coaching staff and blame them for their issues. Now, some people, I think some fans are. We've talked yesterday about how, you know, maybe this assistant or that, you know, that they're going to have to be changes. I mean, Jim Schwartz left. I mean, there's a lot of things that you look at with this coaching staff, and I get all the questions. But Vrabel himself, quote-unquote, losing the locker room, I don't think that's a thing, because I think, well, especially with guys who have been here, like they've seen him coach, right? Like they know he's competent and quote unquote good at his job. Now, can you be good at your job when you're losing? Well, look, again, everybody's up for judgment when you're losing, but I don't think that like the way he does things means like he's going to lose. They're just all sick of losing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It's interesting how people view like the back and forth with TD. Like Tony on the text line says, I love TD, but it was a weird question and it was kind of patronizing. And then Robert says, Vrabel took TD's question like TD was testing his manhood. LOL, geez. Like, you know, it was kind of interesting the way that Vrabel handled that, because That is a thing that Titans fans are talking about. Like, you're 3-14 in your last 17 games. A lot of Titans fans are talking about, like, has he lost the fastball? Has he lost the room? Like, are they not responding to his messaging anymore? Like, all these conversations come up when you start losing and the coach gets in the crosshairs a little bit with the fan base. So I was glad that TD asked the question. And I honestly, when Vrabel like talked his way through it, I thought his answer was pretty good. Like, I think it was kind of illuminating to how he views the scenario of like, this is how I do things. Like this, I don't think about it really any other way. Like, this is how I coach. And it doesn't feel like he thinks there's any issue that way. But I thought once we kind of cut through the back and forth with TD and Vrabel there, it was actually a pretty good answer by Vrabel.
Yeah. Are you threatening me?
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't agree with Tony that it was patronizing. I mean, I don't think it was I think it was a good question. And yeah, I think it was a good answer. I mean, it's, you know, it's like you're going to do things the same way, which I think you should. And again, it's like this season or any season, if you're winning at a high rate, the every week is its own thing approach is how you have to do it, I think, in this league.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, look, here we go with another Christian Fulton thing. I mean, if you want to talk about on an individual basis, even guys who, because I know it was brought up with like A.J. Brown yesterday and stuff, you know, what people have said, and, you know, A.J. Brown has taken shots at the Titans and Vrabel again. Like, I have a great relationship with A.J. Brown. You know, I think A.J. Brown taking shots at the Titans is just A.J. Brown being petty on social media. But, you know, like when Christian Fulton goes to another team and he'll be on someone's podcast, he might not say nice things about Vrabel. You're not going to be friends with everybody. Clearly there's an issue there with those two at this point. But I mean, I step back and look at this, at that situation, and I just, from what I know about it, like, I can't really blame Vrabel too much on that one.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Take more of your thoughts on Mike Vrabel, some of his comments from yesterday's press conference. We'll also get into what Vrabel had to say about his coaching staff yesterday as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with us tomorrow morning at 8:45. Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and all things college football with her. Take your thoughts right now, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we talked about the coaching staff yesterday. Vrabel was asked about that yesterday, said he didn't plan on making any changes with the coaching staff at this moment. Now, one thing to keep in mind there, because I saw a lot of Titans fans freaking out about that yesterday. Number one, some of the coaching staff changes have already been made last year, and you're 1 year in, so I would be very surprised if, especially like Tim Kelly, right? I'd be very surprised if Tim Kelly was fired at the end of the year. The other thing to keep in mind, Joe, is there are 7 games remaining in the regular season. So Vrabel's not going to get up there on a Monday press conference and say, yeah, you know, we're thinking about it, thinking about making some coaching changes right now in the middle of the year. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Right. I mean, I believe, and someone correct me, but I mentioned this yesterday, I believe the last time an in-season coaching firing happened was the 2016 season when Bobby April, special teams coach, got zapped right after the punt return beat the Titans in Houston. I think that's right. Right. I believe
you don't want
to
have a bad game in Houston if you're a Titans coach of any kind.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course that's very interesting because you have that. And then you have the end of Mike Mularkey's tenure when, I mean, John Robinson confirmed to the presser that, you know, that, essentially that he would not fire Terry Rubisky as offensive coordinator. So yeah, in season, look, it's fine. It's a fine question. And again, it's now open season on these questions, but I would not expect that to happen. You know, end of the season, I think it's possible. Sure. I'm with you on Tim Kelly. I mean, it's year one of Tim Kelly and well, I told y'all about Todd Downing too. Not saying Todd Downing's a great OC, but it is not a great situation for an OC. Chuck says, remember when local media said there was no way Ken Whisenhunt would be fired, no way John Robinson could be fired in the middle of the season? I remember many of the talk shows the morning Whisenhunt was fired, scoffing at callers who thought he was getting fired before the season ended. Amy still has Adams in her name. I'm trying to remember. Would that have been Amy? Was that Amy? I guess it was. Is that right?
That was right before I think she took over as controlling owner, or maybe right as it was happening. One of the two.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't, I mean, I can't speak to that, Chuck, in terms of scoffing about it or whatever. I was not here. I don't know. Do you remember, Robbie?
I don't remember.
Was there a lot of scoffing going on?
I mean, look, I mean, they had won like 3 total games. So I don't think there was a whole lot of chatter about like how Ken Whisenhunt's job was safe. But look, I mean, I was not in this role in 2015, so I don't know, maybe I'm remembering incorrectly, but I felt like a lot of the Titans fans I knew were absolutely wanting to fire Ken Whisenhunt at that time, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's, I think from a league perspective that one was clearly coming, you know, but I know some of the issue there was, well, first of all, Ken Whisenhunt, and this is me talking to people after the fact, apparently was hated by every person in Nashville who came within a mile of him. But
yeah, apparently, you know, so.
I mean, I'm still trying to find someone who could tolerate him in his time here. So that's something, you know, to keep in mind. And again, like, you know, with the Vrabel thing, it's like Vrabel can be prickly. There's no doubt about it. Okay. But it's a very, very different situation when it comes to that, right? Like with people in general who come into contact with him. Also Whisenhunt, I know a big criticism Whisenhunt was, you got this rookie quarterback and you're getting him killed. Well, we're kind of having the same discussion, although it seems like maybe coaching itself was a little bit more culpable for that.
Yeah. I mean, it is a little bit of a different discussion just because, I mean, you drafted Taylor Lewan in Whisenhunt, I think it was his last year? I think maybe his last year where you drafted Taylor Lewan and he got inserted into the lineup. You hadn't got Ben Jones yet. So it's not like the Titans had a good offensive line. I mean, they were rebuilding their offensive line. Now, was it as bad as this one? And by the way, another loss on this offensive line, which we'll get to coming up here in just a few minutes. But was it as bad as this one? I don't know. Like, I don't want to be like a victim of, you know, playing history and just something that's too close to the vest here and overreacting to the most recent body of information. I am wondering, though, like, is this the worst offensive line the Titans have ever had? And the Wisenhunt offensive line had some doozies in there. I mean, God bless Zach Mettenberger. I remember a game he played in Houston where I thought J.J. Watt was going to set the single-season sack record in one game. And it was the most amazing thing I think I've ever seen. So I'm not convinced that this is the worst offensive line they've ever had, but it's certainly in the running.
And, you know, you bring that up, and we said at the time, let's remind ourselves in terms of coaching, you know, what the plan and what they were doing that day against Myles Garrett this year, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, again, like, there's tons of fair criticism of Vrabel and the coaching staff this year. I mean, Vrabel always makes the point about, in different ways, you know, a point that I totally agree with, which is, ultimately, in this league, everybody is talented. Are there huge differences? Sure, but like every team has talent. The any given Sunday cliche is true. So, you know, if you are going to go out and get thumped every Sunday, and we'll see what they do from here, but it does get to the point of, okay, so what's going on weekly? Who's listening to who? How much of the eyes glazing over, you know, like how are you doing in your job? I mean, this is also, by the way, you think about Vrabel's career. I don't know what his high school team did. I bet you it was good.
I bet it was too.
But I don't know what the record was there, but go through his career. Vrabel's never lost, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he did lose in Houston. They had all the injuries and stuff like that the year he was DC. So I don't remember what their record was. I don't think the record was very good. Well, they still had a great offense. But basically, he's never dealt with stuff like this, you know? So, I mean, this is kind of uncharted territory, and how he'll handle it is a huge story.
Well, and also, like, beyond the coaching part of it, which it's tougher to separate now because you have what we presume is a different role for Vrabel. Like, if you're in that locker room, beyond just the coaching that you see on a daily basis and the decisions that he makes with the lineup, all those things. Like, how much if you're a player in that room, do you look around and say, well, was it Vrabel's idea to bring in Andre Dillard? Like, was it Vrabel's idea to address the offensive line the way that he did? Because if so, I don't know if I have a whole lot of confidence in the way this is going moving forward. I mean, it changes things when you're also part of talent evaluation and bringing people in.
No, no question. And again, you have been a part to some extent previously, even of some of these decisions that have been devastating. So that's the concern to me about Vrabel long term and moving forward is Vrabel as a talent evaluator. You know, how good is he? You know, you can be a great leader of people, you can be a great coach, and you can be bad at that. They are two different jobs. And that, to me, that's the focus of what I would look at in terms of concern about him. I think that's a much bigger concern than, like, has he lost the room, you know? Speaking of that, there's a question on the text line that I would very – from Austin from Clarksville that I'd very much like to – I didn't get to hear this, but I would like to address that for sure.
We will address that coming up next. We'll also get into a big loss for the Titans yesterday that was announced that has me wondering about the future of the quarterback this season coming up next as well. All that coming up. Make sure you join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans Week 12 matchup against the Panthers and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Oh,
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Caroline Fenton coming up at 7 o'clock. Looking forward to that here in about 15 minutes. Right now, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe Austin from Clarksville on the text line asks, do you agree with Jared that Ran Carthon should be under fire after 1 year? What do you make of that?
Yesterday was a travel day for me, so I was not able to listen to Jared. How about you? Any other greatest hits from Jared yesterday?
Well, I was at Bridgestone when he started talking about this, but the gist of this, from what I gathered, is that if he were the owner, if he were in charge of the Titans, he would be prepared to clean house at the end of the year. He's not making any in-season firings, but he would be prepared to clean house. And he said that means the coaching staff and the general manager at the end of the year, is what he said.
You know, Jared had a pretty, I think, effective and dead-on rant or series of rants last year that I agreed with, which was, see, that's what loser franchises do, when he was talking about the John Robinson in-season firing. Do you know what loser franchises would do? They'd hire a GM and then fire him after a freaking year, when he inherited a half of a tire fire. That is so stupid. And again, I didn't hear exactly how Jared put it, but that is absolutely moronic. Like, if that's the case, well, listen, if that's even a consideration, like if they actually would consider that, and I'm talking they being Amy, her,
yeah,
you know, she has no clue what's going on. This franchise is screwed.
Well, yeah,
you went through an entire process to hire someone. He brought in a new staff, a new way of doing things, all the stuff. They had one offseason, and yes, it was not a good off. It was not a good first offseason. You look at these free agent signings, it wasn't good. Now the draft, you know, the draft may end up being good. I don't think that, like right now, the draft could be pretty good. I mean, if they've got the quarterback, it could be great.
Sure,
but the free agent signings were bad, no doubt. Why would you? Like, you have to. I mean, to me, you have to separate those two. You have to separate coach and GM. Yes, you want them to collaborate, but the timelines are vastly different, and I don't think it's fair or competent to try to tie Carthon's timeline into Vrabel's or just the history of this franchise. He took over a bad situation.
Well, he took over a bad situation. And look, I don't think this is in any danger of actually happening. You know, I don't think Jared's a big fan of the way that he's handled some things from, you know, just the media perspective. I don't think he's a big fan of the way that he's operated and kind of what it seems like with him and Vrabel and a relationship part of it. You know, things that are really hard for us who are not inside the building to sit here and actually quantify. So let's just play this out. What would that say? Like, if they got through this and they made the decision at the end of the year to get rid of Vrabel and the coaching staff and also to get rid of the general manager, that would tell us that Amy Adams Strunk went through an entire hiring process and through 1 year determined that she made a tremendous mistake and hired the wrong person and had to eat it and admit it after a year. Like, to which point, Joe, that would also mean that she fired a general manager in the middle of the season with a 7-5 record and caused her, well, you can debate whether or not it caused it. It certainly didn't help our team going on a downward spiral after that. And then a year later has bungled a GM search, if that were the way it to play out. I mean, just think about what that would mean.
She'd be as big a joke as there is in sports in terms of ownership. It's absolutely an asinine discussion. And the thing is, if you were to actually be prepared to do that, so you're prepared to do that because, again, what's the information? How much fault for this current situation goes on Carthon? Dillard, yes. And again, when I say Carthon, it is Carthon and Vrabel, right? Like, everything is Carthon and Vrabel. But I'm saying, if we just take it to, you know, to his signings, and he is the GM, okay? Dillard for sure. You know, Key. Yeah, I mean, and again, none of these are breaking the bank signings. They're all kind of protect the teams, you know, see how it goes. You can get out of it relatively painlessly signings. You know, Alshire is okay. I mean, I think we see again, people who underrated David Long Jr., I'll never understand.
Yeah.
In this fan base, but he's, you know, there's a difference between a guy who has instincts and makes plays all the time and a guy who sometimes makes plays. Bad off season, but what else would there be? Like, if you were to fire him, to me, I would actually be looking for the plane for Green Bay. You know what I mean? Like, okay, what really happened?
Yeah.
Like, how could you possibly even consider that? He's just getting started. That's asinine. I understand. You know, I understand Jared gets emotional, and I mean, Jared's ready to fire people real fast. So you get to this where we're actually. Everybody's talking about it, and it's like he has to take it to another level. Now, let me think of somebody else we can fire that no one else would think of. That's just freaking stupid.
Yeah. What about the Chris Hubbard news? So Jeremy Fowler puts it out there last night that Chris Hubbard is going to be out the rest of the season with a biceps injury. And I know you may be thinking, if you're listening, okay, is the Titans offensive line going to go from bad to bad? I mean, how much worse could it actually get? I get it. But now you are down a left tackle in Petit Frere, a right tackle, a guy that can play both sides, and then Chris Hubbard on the right side too. So what are you doing at tackle right now if you're the Titans? Are you trotting Andre Dillard back out there or Dylan Raidens and going with Jalen Duncan on one side? Like, it's a terrible situation for Will Levis right now. It wasn't good to begin with, and it just got worse with Chris Hubbard out.
Yeah, I mean, you are now in a situation where it's just like you just really, really hope that you hit on Jalen Duncan, and it's just a case of, you know, raw rookie went through some stuff and he's ready to flourish. You know, I mean, I'm trying to provide some sunshine to the situation because it's, you know, you're down to the. I mean, you're in a situation, I think, now where, like, you have to, and I'm sure they have been anyway. Here's something for Rand, you know, for Rand Carthon to dig in on, you know, trying to find whatever tackle on whatever scrap heap you can find, you know, because someone else is going to get hurt too.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's a bad situation. And, I mean, it's like if you're Tim Kelly, you've got to – I mean, it's got to affect how you are looking – It already should have, the situation, but like when you get to now a rookie who's barely played, who has some talent, sure, but you know, it is going to be, I think, probably making some big time mistakes. I mean, you have to take that even more into account in your game planning and play calling.
Yep. No question about that. TNVol64 on Twitter, Joe, says, why doesn't AB Adam Strunk or Rand Carthon do any interviews or take questions? That's from TNVol64.
Hey, I totally agree with that. I mean, I think Rand should be more available and accessible on things. I think he should have talked after the Byard trade. I totally agree. And so, like, Will from Nashville here is, you know, Will from Nashville says, I heard it. I think he, Rand, is downright incompetent, nice guy, but he has no idea what he's doing. You should cut your losses. He invoked the Byard pay cut thing, Rand's treatment of Jared. Who gives a crap about Rand's treatment of Jared? And other things. It may be personal. And also Will says the be positive commentary. Yes, last year he's like, these guys are drafted and you guys should be positive. And yeah, I agree. That was like, okay, dude, please stop. But the idea that you like he's incompetent, has no idea what he's doing. Look, I agree, in a bad offseason. I will say this. This offseason is massive. Okay.
Yeah.
It's massive for Carthon and for Vrabel. And I believe they'll both be here. And they have to make decisions, signings. Amy has to let them spend also, by the way. They have to have a good draft. They have to have a great free agency class, and they have to fix a lot of things, starting with that offensive line. If they make a bunch of bad choices this year, then I think it's more fair to start having this discussion. But right now, again, you are as big a joke in sports ownership, and I know that's a big statement, but you're up there. If you actually go through this process, hire a GM, and then after one bad year, when he took over a bad roster, fire him. That is insane, people.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans. We'll get her thoughts on all things college football as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.